Hi, this is Stuart Weems and welcome to the Investopoly podcast. My goal is to share simple strategies, insights and tips to help you master the game of building wealth. And in this episode, I'd like to share the reasons why I think this year, or at least over the next 3 to 18 months, that the government will tighten up lending rules for investors, and that there might be a window of opportunity between now and if that occurs, for investors to jump in the market, which is not to say that I want to create some fear and urgency in respect to that, but more just looking at prudentially what will the government do to prevent a property price bubble, because the reality is that virtually everyone is predicting that prices will surge higher this year. And at the moment, the newspapers are full of stories of property selling for amounts significantly more than their reserve. Part of that might be that the indication of the reserve was set relatively low to begin with to create demand for that property. But also part of it could be just low stock levels and a little bit of FOMO kicking in and people wanting to get into the market, you know, before prices rise, for example. But at the end of the day, the market might get to a point where the growth rates become unsustainable. And both the government and the RBA don't want that. They don't want a price bubble, an asset price bubble, and they will want to take steps to avoid that. So if we have a look at the predictions, and really I follow Bill Evans, which is the chief economist from Westpac, the closest, because he's been right more than he's been wrong, or at least right more than his peers over the last 20 years. So Bill's predicting that prices nationally will rise 20% over the next 2 years, which is pretty significant increase, really. And the things that Bill cited that are going to sort of drive that price growth is really the better than expected economic recovery, obviously the vaccine rollout, although slow in Australia, will eventually gather pace. And of course, low historic interest rates will add to that. At the moment, if you have a look at sort of lending indicators that are released by the Australian Bureau of Statistics, it suggests that really homeowners at the moment are dominating the property market, or at least they're dominating, you know, new home loans rather than investors. But at some point, investors will come back into the market and probably to a significant proportion, and that will further fuel price rises. The other thing that will that may further stimulate the market is the scrapping of the responsible lending rules. As I record this podcast, it's currently before the Houses of Parliament being debated. But if that gets passed into legislation, it'll be interesting to see what practical impact that will have on people's borrowing capacities. The key takeaway from that that bill or that bunch of legislation is that it's the government seeking to sort of eliminate the kind of one-size-fits-all approach, allow lenders to some discretion, and this is going to have particular impact in regards to living expenses. So instead of lenders having to trawl over your bank statements and determine what you're currently spending money on, maybe they can use a benchmark amount that may not include discretionary expenditure. And to my mind, that makes a lot of sense. I think we can't be blind to what people are currently spending, but you can take that into account in your overall credit assessment. So if the asset position is very weak, clearly that's an indication that people are spending on everything they're earning, or maybe more. But when it comes to calculating affordability, whether we go out to dinner every night this week or not, really doesn't inform me as to my ability to take on an additional loan. Most people are going to opt to pay the mortgage before they go out to dinner. And in fact, if I'm going out to dinner every night, perhaps that's the best indication that I have additional surplus cash flow. Anyway, notwithstanding that, really interesting to see what impact that will have. No doubt it will have a greater impact in blue chip markets because they're the borrowers that tend to have higher incomes and from a practical spending perspective tend to spend more. So if we just assume a lower benchmark expense for those borrowers, those higher income earners are the ones that are going to benefit the most from this legislation, and they're the ones that are typically buying in those blue chip areas. So really what we might see is almost a two-tier market to some degree, outlying areas where people's borrowing capacities remain relatively tight, and sort of inner city blue chip areas where borrowing capacity is improved. Normally what happens when we get a property market that's a little bit too bullish and prices are moving too fast, normally what governments do is use interest rates to cool markets. Obviously, interest rates take more money out of people's pockets, less to spend, and they start to sort of cool the jets a little bit. There's two reasons I don't think the Australian government and the RBA, to more correctly, will want to increase interest rates to cool the property market. The first one is that the RBA has been very clear that the data suggests that the bottom 40% of income earners have been the most severely impacted by COVID. And in fact, the top 40% of income earners haven't been impacted at all. So if we go and increase interest rates for people that are driving Ubers, working in hospitality, working in tourism, those sorts of sectors that are typically earning, I mean, statistically, they're earning a lower than average income. If we go and increase interest rates, it's going to hurt the people that can least afford it. And the people, the top income earners, whose income is higher today than it was pre-COVID, will largely be unaffected. So as a blunt instrument, it's going to cause more harm than good, increasing interest rates. The second reason is that it's going to be a bit of a political hot potato, rises in interest rates. And the reason for that is that the federal government's debt is tipped to reach $1 trillion. So a 1% increase in interest rates is going to increase the interest cost of the government by about $10 billion a year. And that's obviously not going to be good for the budget. And we all know that politicians are driven by what's popular and what's going to be good news and easy to sell to their constituents. So politically, not a good move to increase interest rates as government debt is increasing as well. So what can the RBA then do, or the government more particularly, do to cool the property market? Well, essentially, they can change prudential lending standards. And they can do that in a few different ways, perhaps three different ways. And they could do a combination of these three things, or perhaps one of them. The first one is that they could seek to increase interest rates for investors. Now, investors are already paying between 0.4 and 0.8 of a percent higher interest rates than owner-occupiers. And of course, the government can't necessarily go and direct the banks to increase interest rates. But what they could do, for example, is require them to hold more capital for investor loans than they do for owner-occupier loans. What that would do is push up the cost to fund those loans. And of course, we all know what the banks will do. They'll pass that higher cost on to borrowers, which is exactly what the government will want them to do in the first place. So they could manipulate the market so that interest rates for investment loans rise, and that could sort of cool investors. The second thing they could do is reduce loan-to-value ratios, LVRs, and which is exactly what the Reserve Bank of New Zealand did last month. Now, most of the major banks in New Zealand, they will lend up to 60% of an investment property's value, therefore retarding people's ability to access equity and sort of build their property portfolio and so forth. Or at least the people with plenty of equity are probably unaffected, but that's a smaller slither of the market. At the moment in Australia, we can borrow up to 90% of a property's value for investment purposes. So there's a big gap between Australia and New Zealand, and it'd be interesting to see what impact that'll have in the New Zealand property market, which is pretty hot at the moment. And the third strategy could be to increase the benchmark interest rate for investors. So the benchmark interest rate is the interest rate that lenders use to measure your capacity to be able to repay debt. So whilst you might be borrowing at 2.5%, they will test it at 6% maybe on a P&I basis. Well, And APRA, which is the government, could instruct the banks to use a higher benchmark interest rate for investor loans than they do for owner-occupier loans, and therefore essentially reduce a borrower's borrowing capacity. When will this happen? Well, I guess it's anyone's guess because it's just a prediction on my front. But I think if the property market starts to get a bit out of control, potentially these lending changes could be pushed through within, say, a 6 or 18 month period. I don't think it's probably going to happen in the next 6 months, but it's really just if the property market gets out of control. Of course, if it doesn't get out of control, then clearly there won't be any need to change these lending standards. So what can you do as an investor to prepare yourself? Well, lock in as much equity as you can over the next 6 months. That's what I would be doing. Depending on the type of property and location, I'd probably be inclined to wait a few months before doing that. 1 or 2 months just to let a few more comparable sales occur, and probably going to result in a higher bank valuation. And then probably around April, May, I'd get my mortgage broker to revalue my properties and lock in my borrowing access to 80% of those new valuations. Of course, the exact timing of when you do that really depends on your personal circumstances, but just generally that's kind of what I would be thinking. That's a good thing to do in any case, even if we didn't think lending rules would change in the future. But it's always good to sort of lock in your access to equity, even if you have no plans to use those monies, because you never know what's around the corner and what opportunities could arise. Just to finish, I want to talk about, you know, being driven by FOMO and worried about property price increases and so forth. I just want to address that because, you know, some people feel a tremendous sense of urgency to get into the market, to buy an investment property, upgrade the home before prices rise. And I probably kind of have three responses to why you should resist the temptation to feel that immense sense of urgency. And I'm not suggesting you should sit and procrastinate and do nothing. By all accounts, if you're ready to invest or ready to upgrade, you should do that. But there's three things to consider. Firstly, and I've got a link in the show notes, of course, my financial analysis proves that the price you pay for a property is largely irrelevant. So I did analysis a couple of years ago where I looked at buying 10% above intrinsic value and 10% below intrinsic value. And by a factor of 10, quality, so the type of property you buy, is far more important than the price you pay. Secondly, property is a long-term investment, right? You plan to hold a property, or should at least, for a few decades. So therefore, there's no need to get anxious about a few months. You know, in the long run, it's really going to be immaterial. And finally, three, discretionary vendors will definitely be encouraged by recent results in the property market. As such, we should expect supply to increase. You know, more people will put their properties on the market. And this is going to probably have a cooling effect on price rises. It might not offset them completely, but what it will is dampen the market. So let's not get seduced into thinking that prices can only move in one direction. There is some probability that they will not grow as fast as everyone is expecting at the moment. And in fact, sometimes the indication that if everyone's thinking the same thing, that probably should be, those times are when you should probably raise alarm bells and so forth. As a summary, I guess the one key takeaway, I mean, if my prediction ends up being correct and lending rules, in fact, aren't changed, the one thing that we can probably take away from this analysis is that interest rates are likely to remain low for longer, that really the government and the RBA don't really have the room to increase interest rates, and that in of itself is probably an investment opportunity for most people. So that's it for me for this week. Please, if you enjoy the Investopoly podcast, please share it with any friends, family, or colleagues that you think would get some enjoyment from it. And please leave a rating for wherever you listen to your podcast. It certainly does help the ranking and get more people listening. Until next week, bye for now.